Fall camp starts today. Let's get it.
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fine.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Five, recording live from Orange Beach, Alabama. It was a freeze warning in Lee County. Had to go south to where it's a little bit warmer. So we're going to be here for a few more days and still putting out the content. So lock in. Let's get ready, because fall camp kicks off today. We're going to get to see practice footage. We're going to get to hear practice notes. We're going to get to hear from Coach Freeze. And let him know, kind of fill us in on the goals and the aspirations and what they're looking to achieve in this fall camp. Football's this that close. It's right around the corner, and we're going to break it down. We're going to talk about some very important position groups that really need to step up and really need to get some answers, I guess, from this fall camp. So, but before we do that, you know, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Look, Big Cat Weekend, Auburn really improved its reach with recruiting. Well, you know who else is improving his reach, and that is Ford Stokes and his Active Wealth team, improving their reach to help more folks invest and retire successfully. Ford's radio show, Retirement Results, is now syndicated across 7 states on 20 different radio stations. He wants to help Auburn fans and Auburn alumni. He's ready to serve the Auburn family. You got to check him out. Retirementresults.com/plan. Get that free portfolio analysis. Why not? Why not be sure? Why not be sure that what you're doing is going to get you where you need to be? So check him out, Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Practice starts today, gang. Today, we're going to see some. It's not going to be tackle football yet. There's not going to be pads popping. Typically, your first couple of days are just in helmets and shorts, no pads. So, but you're going to get to see a lot of footage, probably a lot of good the media viewing period. You'll get to see some quarterbacks throwing. You'll get to see some wide receivers. You'll get to see some of those new freshmen that reported a little bit later. You'll get to see some of the freshmen and the guys that you're excited about that reported again, not reported again, but reported in December, that you'll get to see again, that you saw a little bit, a glimpse of in spring. So it's an exciting time we're only a few weeks away. We're 4 weeks away from kickoff. And they're ready to get after it. But there's a couple of position groups that I think we really got to get a lot of answers from. This is a very important fall camp for. It's important for everybody, but particular when you talk about having maybe some positions or some spots sort of up for grab or guys that really need to take the next step. There's just a few that I think are a little bit more, there's a little bit more emphasis on. There's going to be a few more eyeballs on as far as, if this piece gets solidified, Auburn could take that next step, especially on offense. And it doesn't start – you know, you got to start with the quarterback room. It looks like it's a foregone conclusion. Peyton Thorne's going to be your guy moving forward. And I think you're seeing a lot of guys kind of start to rally around him over the summer. You had Eugene Asante show a lot of excitement, a lot of support. You had Keandre Lambert-Smith going on podcast talking about how excited he is about Peyton Thorne. Using Peyton Thorne as when you talk about excitement of the offense, what is it? Peyton Thorne. Not the play calling, not how you're going to use me. It's just Peyton Thorne. So this is big for Peyton. Okay, so you've been here. You came in last year. You came in late, and there's no way to get a good way to say it, but you struggle. You struggle a little bit. You struggle. You struggle being able to diagnose the defense with the offensive setup. You struggle being able to be a little bit more accurate with your passes. It was just not a good year. It was just not a good year. And coming from where he's had a fair amount of success, stepping into the SEC and struggled a little bit. Now, we've talked about this to where blue in the face. Where do you point the fingers? He obviously, I think he deserves at least some portion of the blame. But I feel like a lot of the stuff around him is better suited now for him to have success. And we're going to see. There's really not any excuses. And I think he knows that, hey, I don't have that card anymore. I don't have the discombobulated offensive setup anymore. I don't have any wide receivers excuse. They brought me in some guys that are pretty daggum good at other places, put up big numbers, and then they brought me in arguably one of the more electric freshmen that we've seen at wide receiver in quite some time, and I'm going to have him to throw and throw to, and then not only him, but the other receivers, which we're going to talk about here in just a second. I just think for Peyton, starting off and building chemistry, building consistency, just totally immersing himself in this offense, figuring out how to make those RPO decisions accurately every single time, or at a high, or if not every single time, at a very high rate, because that's going to be a big part of this offense. Is there's going to be a lot of decisions to be made on every single snap, whether it's hand the ball off, pull it, run it, or make a quick pass to the outside. There's going to be a ton of different options on every single play. So this is massive for Peyton. This is a redemption tour. This could be a redemption tour. If you want any kind of prospects of the NFL or anything like that, you got to really bounce back, because there's a lot of red flags in a lot of people's minds when it comes to, even from some Auburn fans. Hey, it's hard to shake that taste out of your mouth from last year, especially if you're just sort of like a casual fan and you don't really look at all the different aspects of what went wrong last year. Hey, sometimes all you can see is, hey, the quarterback's only throwing for 100 yards a game. Like, something's wrong here. It's a very big important spring for Peyton, and I think the pieces are in place for him to really take the reins here and go with it. So Peyton's going to be your starter. It'll be fun to watch how the few throwing sessions that we'll get to see. I'm sure there'll be some people that blow things way out of proportion, and there'll be some positive and negative. And then obviously we'll get some scrimmages that we'll get some information from too. So got to see what happens there. But that's not the only important piece of the quarterback room. I think the number two quarterback position is that battle is incredibly important this year. For numerous reasons. And you got Holden Gehrner, you got Hank Brown, and then you got Walker White. The reason is so important is because, A, the ball is up for grabs next year. The spot is up for grabs next year. So you feel like if you can edge out one of the other guys and get that number two spot, you're sort of sitting pretty, sort of, lean right into hopefully taking over that number one spot going into next year. Another thing, hey, you really need to perform. You really need to look good. You really got to be sharp, because even if you win that number two spot, if it's not a convincing win, or it's a win, but it's not, you're still not playing quite at that SEC level, and you're not progressing where you need to be. Hey, Hugh's looking to make a playoff run in 2025. Okay, so, last year when they talked about quarterbacks and going to the portal, Auburn wasn't a quarterback away. So Auburn was not just a one portal quarterback away from making this team this year a championship contender. So do you go ahead and spend that $1 million on a quarterback and sacrifice other pieces that can help build it to where you can get to a spot where you're just a quarterback away next year? Auburn could just be a quarterback away. So if that number two spot, if those guys still aren't progressing to the level where they can be a championship caliber type quarterback, you're going to see Auburn go to the portal, because next year is the year. This year you got a chance to we talked about it yesterday. This year you got a chance to sort of take another step forward. Next year you're going to have a roster almost full of only Hugh Freeze guys. So it's very big for that backup quarterback role to get locked in and not just be the backup, but be good enough to progress and continue to be good enough to where you could take that step and take over the starting role. I have no idea who that will be, but I think it's very important. I don't think you just go through the motions and just try to beat out the other two guys. I think you're trying to go and beat out Peyton. You're trying to go be the best you can be because, hey, if I'm just inching by, they're just going to bring in a portal quarterback next year, and then they're going to try to bring in a all-star freshman this year and every single other year. So I could just easily get replaced, and it's just that much longer until I get to possibly get into that starting role. So the quarterback room in general is very, very important on what the foundation that's built starting today. Peyton got to get some stuff cleaned up from last year, get more chemistry built with the wide receivers, and then, you know, continue to sort of progress and get better in this offense. And then the backup quarterback position is also, I think, very important because, hey, not only do you need to win the backup position, but you got to get real much better because otherwise Auburn's going to go to the portal to make a run in 2025. So got to watch out for that quarterback room. Let's see what happens there. Wide receivers, look, there's three spots that are solidified, okay? You got Keandre Lambert-Smith, you got Robert Lewis, you got Cam Coleman. They're good to go. Okay, that is a pretty dynamic trio. They could play a lot of snaps. There's a lot of different formations where you could see all three of them on the field, maybe only two of them at a time. So those three are good. The development of these young guys, the acceleration of these young guys like Perry Thompson, like Malcolm Simmons, maybe even Bryce Kane. Bryce Kane's, you know, a smaller guy, but he can still be dynamic, you know, in that slot, getting those little mismatches, those quick little ins-out slants that he could get put on somebody and use his speed to create separation. But the development of those younger guys, because I feel like, although those three right there, Keandre Lambert-Smith, Robert Lewis, Cam Coleman, are pretty dynamic, if you could add one more to that mix, and then if you could add one more to that mix to where you can take dudes off the field and put other guys on and there's no step, there's no drop-off, my gracious. If Perry Thompson, we talked about, I think Perry Thompson could easily be that guy right now. Physically, he's ready to go. Physically, he's ready-made for the SEC. It just depends on how motivated he is to come in. While he might be just a smidge behind the eight ball, how quick, you know, it took Cam Coleman a few practices. How quick does it take him a few practices leading up to that first scrimmage to where he could possibly break into the lineup and be a fourth weapon? And then Malcolm Simmons, to me, is the wild card because he, believe it or not, he could be the most athletic of all the guys. Malcolm Simmons could possibly be more athletic than every wide receiver I just mentioned. And also, you talk about him from a return specialist perspective. If those two guys could develop and be adequate backups or adequate players as freshmen, this and continue to progress throughout the season, man, this passing game could be incredibly dynamic. You're going to have a lot of athletes, a lot of dudes that can make some things happen. And you're going to have some veteran, you're going to have a veteran aspect out there too. But to me, the big thing to watch in the wide receiver room is not the three that are, you know, solidified. You know, you're not necessarily worried. Cam Coleman's going to Cam Coleman, okay? He's going to get his. Keandre Lambert-Smith, is there a little bit of a transition to the SEC? The Big Ten's pretty daggum competitive. Penn State was pretty competitive, so I don't see that there's just a massive jump there as far as talent goes. And then you got Robert Lewis. Okay, you were at a G5 school. You put up big numbers. How does that translate to the SEC? He looked really good in spring. Bigger guy already, and he could possibly, you know, make some stuff happen too. And he's a veteran. You know, he's been around. He's put up numbers pretty much everywhere he's been. So you're not really worried about those. You're just, how do these freshmen, how does that work out? But, you know, if you can get one or two of those guys ready that came in a little bit later, look out. look out, this offense could be electric, a lot of fun to watch. And then the last thing, again, it's kind of a similar tool. It's kind of a similar situation. The defensive line, we know Keldrick Fox is going to be out there. We know he's solid. After that, you got a lot of guys and a lot of different rotational pieces to where it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out. You got Jason Jones, who's been a sort of like a stalwart as far as the that guy in the middle for multiple years now. He's going into his last season. Does he take that step forward and sort of entrench himself as the guy right there in the middle, plugging holes and clogging things up when you got another guy like Isaiah Rakes? I think those are going to be, maybe your 1-2 punch there as far as those interior right in the middle defensive linemen go. I've been hearing a little bit possibly Trill Carter is going to be either limited or maybe not even available early as far as, a little bit banged up. So that was a guy you brought in, which may make sense as to why you brought in a few more defensive linemen in that late portal period. But so how does that rotation work? How does Gage Keys fit in? How do these freshmen, these all-star freshmen, Amaris Williams, how are you going to keep him off the field? Malik Blockton, who has just continued to get rave reviews, how are you going to keep that kid off the field? The options you have on the defensive line, I feel like this reminds me so much of some of those Tuberville defenses, or even honestly some of those Gus defensive lines where you had a lot of different guys that you could rotate in. I go back to thinking about that 2013 team when you're playing against Texas A&M, and you had just sort of like a squadron sitting there waiting to sub in, sub out, because they would move fast. So you had dudes sitting there. You had so many options of guys that could play, that could make some stuff happen. I think we're very close to having sort of a situation like that. You got a good mix of seniors. You got a good mix of really, really talented young guys. And then obviously you got your stud, Keldrick Falk, who's going to be there ready to absolutely wreak havoc all season. How does that rotation work? And I hope as practice progresses, you get a little bit of an idea leading up into the early scrimmages of how that's going to shake out. I'm excited to see how I love defense. I love defensive line in general. Pass rushing is a little bit of a different position group. We'll talk about that later as practice goes on. But this as far as the interior, where going into the offseason, before all these portal additions, that was a position that was a group that you were a little bit nervous about, because you didn't have much coming back. You lost Marcus Harris, who was your playmaker. How you replace his production, and you go out and you bring a bunch of portal guys, and then you bring in some really talented young guys. How does that group shake out? That will be something very interested to see. How can you not be excited? How can you not be fired up? Football is right around the corner. We are getting after it today. Practice starts, I think, at 10 a.m. So if you're listening to this in the morning, be on the lookout. You're going to start seeing some practice notes coming out from the media viewing period this morning. If you're listening to this afternoon, you've probably already seen it. But regardless, you should be as excited as I am, ready to boog out, ready to overreact, I'm completely prepared to overreact. I'm completely prepared to over-embellish. get over bug over a one-handed catch or how someone looks physically. I'm just ready, man. It's football season. We this has been a long summer. We've had a lot of recruiting action. We've had a lot of recruiting hype, but dadgummit, I'm ready to talk about some football. I'm ready to talk about some Auburn football, and we're going to get after it. We're going to break down some of the notes that we get from practice from yesterday, and it's going to be a ton of fun. So, guys, I really appreciate you listening. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. We're going to be back again tomorrow recapping practice from today. I really appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a great day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.